motto of the Boy Scouts is to be prepared.
Is it?
Yep.
For what?
Everything.
Collecting cans and recycling.
Were you a Boy Scout?
Yeah.
Really? How far did you get?
Not very far. I was
I got to the part where they teach you about Xenu.
I just remember we had to do like a can drive once. And there's someone in there that in Boy Scouts, I won't name names, but he was kind of a dick.
Oh. And that's too bad.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't like this guy. And he was like the one kid that was like super into Boy Scouts.
Oh. What's he up to?
I don't know. Anyways, welcome to the show. I'm Chris.
I'm Anton.
I don't think we introduced ourselves last time. I hope they know who we're talking.
Yeah. Because a lot of people just discover the show. I recognize a lot of podcasts, the hosts sound similar sometimes, and that's hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But we sound very distinct.
Do we?
Yeah.
That's good.
We have very different voices, so it really makes...
I've never had that problem, but I do hear that all the time.
We're like... Two hosts sound
Do same. People have like voice blind? You know how like people have face blindness where they can't really tell the difference by looking at people, and they have like, you know, like they have a hard time differentiating different people. Do you think that is also the case with people's voices?
Probably. I think it also depends on how much nuance you have to work through. Like, mm-hmm. If you lived with a bunch of people who sounded similar, you would understand their differences. And
right, because you know the details.
Yeah, that's my theory.
Like the little things that you pick up on.
Yeah.
Distinctly makes them themselves.
Yeah.
I can see that, yeah. I could hear that.
Well, good catch.
What's going on?
Not much.
Cool.
Yeah, how about you?
Nothing. It's hard to do the little like chit chats at the beginning and the second episode when we record back to back because we just talked for
the end. I mean, it's hard in general. I feel like this podcast is the most I do in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
We record it every 2 weeks.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Because I like our schedule because it's just whenever we feel like doing
whenever we feel like we just crank out a bunch.
Anyways, let's hop into what's news.
All right.
This is exciting stuff. Silicon Valley's latest hype. Eyeball scanning silver orbs to confirm you're human. Did you hear about this?
Oh, is this WorldCoin?
Yeah.
I did hear a little bit about this.
Which I guess was the guy that did ChatGPT?
This is Sam Altman. He's all over the place.
He's so hot right now.
He started an app similar to the app I made, Checkverse. There's a social like check-in app called Looped, like many, many years ago. And that didn't really go anywhere, but everybody really liked him. So he ended up being like the president of Y Combinator, which is a incubator. And then from there, like all of a sudden he's heading up OpenAI, and now he's got WorldCoin, and it's just like...
Yeah. So they're going to scan our eyeballs now.
Yeah, I guess. So that you can get world coins.
So you have to collect all the world coins.
Yes. There's 150. You got to get them all? There's a secret one called the Mew coin.
Oh. And you got to get them all.
Yeah.
What happens if you don't?
If you don't, then you don't get the certificate.
Do they send it like a YouTube like subscriber thing? Like a plaque? That if you get 100,000 subscribers.
Because WorldCoin is supposed to help in like third world countries. And they're giving people money basically just to provide their identity right now. Which is a little
sketchy. I feel like
sketchy.
In those countries they just want like basic necessities like food and shelter and water.
Yeah. And then we send these orbs around. They're like, just put your eyeball
in. It's like, I just thought, I remember when like Mark Zuckerberg was like bringing internet to like... rural communities in Africa, and I'm like, at first I'm like, that sounds nice, but like, why can't we just stop like genocide, you know?
Yeah, I read this crazy story this morning about a guy who climbed on a rudder of like a giant boat. Did you hear about this?
No.
He's from Nigeria, and he's like, it's hard to find work in Nigeria apparently.
Ooh.
And it's really rough there. So he's like, I'm going to go to Europe and see if I can get work. So his plan is to climb on the rudder of the boat and ride the rudder to Europe. Well, he got on a boat to South America and he didn't realize it. It's a lot farther to go to South America from Nigeria than it is Europe.
Yeah, it's going across the ocean.
Yeah. Well, the other odd part is he climbs on the rudder. Three other people are on top of the rudder there too with the same plan.
They're like, we're going to Europe, right?
Yeah, they all thought they were going to Europe. And they only had enough food for like the trip to Europe. So nobody knows they're on this rudder. And they run out of food and everything. And they get there and they call their wife. Like, the guy calls his wife, and I was just like, wow, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to find work, all this stuff, but communication, you can just do just fine. You can make a long-distance call to your wife.
Yeah.
And but the necessity, the things we need.
You never escape the old ball and chain.
Jesus. But it is just really interesting that, like, how connected in a lot of ways we are now.
Yeah, but, like, we're still glossing over very basic needs for people.
Yes, exactly. Like, we can give you a phone, but, like,
good luck paying for it.
Yeah. And the government, I guess, isn't so good over there.
Yeah. Well, it probably has to do with the hundreds of years of colonialism and just ravaging the land for its resources. But anyways, eyeball scanning.
Yeah.
So, like, it's going to be kind of used for a lot of different things, but, like, I think the big thing is it could be used to log it. Like, it's like a future of confirming your identity online.
Yeah.
No passwords.
Yep.
It's going to be this, I think it's the biggest leap towards a direction of blending your physical and virtual self in a ways.
Since Facebook?
Yeah. Well, I mean, since anything that kind of involves a profile of any kind that is a representation of you.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know what I mean?
It seems like there's this, like, obsession with identity that I don't really understand.
What don't you understand about it?
Like, with the whole crypto thing, because WorldCoin is a crypto coin.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that, like, I don't know. Maybe these are opposing things. Because I know with
like, the internet's going to be, like, less this fun virtual place and more of just what we're making the world is.
Well, I mean, a lot of people do want to tie the internet into reality. It's almost like the nervous system for a global.
I know, but what's the need for that?
If it makes you money.
Oh, good point.
You'll do it.
I forgot. We're always gotta keep making money.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing with this WorldCoin thing that everybody's hung up on. It's like, where's the money they're getting from this? Nobody does anything like that altruistically.
I guess some good aspects of it is it's going to be very helpful for weeding out bots in certain aspects.
I guess. Who's worried about that?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of online scams.
And you don't want bots paying for stuff?
No.
Instead, what you want
to
do is to
look, I when I'm talking to a single female in my area, I want to know that she's really a single female in my area that is available for dating. And it's not just some bot.
Because eventually you want to actually meet her.
Yeah. And please don't tell my wife this.
Too bad. She's 50% of the listenership.
Because when I click on an ad that says single females in my area, I want to get what I'm being offered.
Yeah.
Instead of some bot. But the bad part about it, you know, where's this data being, like, you know, who's storing this? Who's keeping it? Like, There's got to be some oversight when we start to blend ourselves and start giving this information in.
I just don't understand the point of identity and purchasing. Like, bots, who cares? Like, if they have the money.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't understand the problem enough.
I think there's a lot of scams I don't know about.
So the idea is that somebody stole the money from you and is now using it. So we want to, with the identity.
Well, people are buying things with stolen virtual cards.
It's
true. So like you get someone else's credit card and then you use it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I feel like anything that is in a data format can be stolen. So if you have your retina scan, why wouldn't we just record that and steal that?
Right. I just don't know why they got to scan my eyeball.
Because it's your ID.
What, does everyone have an original eye?
Yeah, supposedly your retina is like one of the... It's more unique than your fingerprint.
Really?
Yeah.
So if like you like murder someone, don't squish your eyeball onto anything.
Yeah. Don't leave photographs of your eyeballs at the scene of the crime.
It's good to keep in mind.
Yep.
All right. That was the news. Just eyeball scanning in general. Do you got any more thoughts about that, Anton?
I mean, you kind of piqued my interest about why there's this obsession with
eyeballs.
With recording who somebody is to make a payment.
Mm. I think it's just because too many companies lose money.
Well, it's somewhat antithetical to, if I'm using that word right, gotta look it up.
Sure.
Later. Yeah. It seems the opposite of one of the benefits of these cryptocurrencies or like cash that, like one of the benefits of the cryptocurrencies, you can pay for things without people knowing who you are. But it still ties back to not an identity tied to you, but like almost like a username, a wallet, effectively.
Yeah.
But if that's now tied to a person, I don't know. Why do we care?
Yeah, good point.
I'll have to look it up. Hmm. A lot of people are very opinionated and upset about this WorldCoin thing.
Yeah? What's the big controversy?
That it's somehow taking advantage of people who are less fortunate.
Yeah, it's usually how everything kind of works.
Yeah.
Well, to be continued.
Yeah. Maybe the next time we talk about it, we'll know more about it and have
a stronger
opinion on it.
I think the interesting idea is, like a way of like actually confirming who you are on the internet. It really hasn't been done. It's just, you're basically just confirming data, like when you put in like your social or something.
Well, Facebook piggybacked off of,
you know,
the school networks. The schools would verify who you were to get into this college
right.
and then give you an email address.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as there was a discipline about getting that email address, they could tie it back to an identity.
But then not everyone went to college.
Well, then they opened it up to the boomers. And no.
Facebook during the college years was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, for like 6 months.
Yeah, I had it for like a year or two, and then it was like
when it was just the wall.
It was just people you went to college with, and those were the coolest people.
Yeah, not my college, but I could see people feeling that way.
Yeah. Well, anyways. More to that in the future when we know more.
Yeah. To be continued.
Well, this next segment is a two-part segment.
Okay.
But we're just doing part one today. We're not doing part two.
Okay.
Because it's such a big cultural phenomenon that it has to be two parts.
Okay. What is it?
It's Barbenheimer part one. Barbie.
What is Barbenheimer?
It's Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Oh, no, I knew that. But like, why are they conjoining them?
Well, because originally, because they people thought it was really funny a few months ago when they announced the release dates for Barbie and Oppenheimer is like, oh, it's the most manliest Christopher Nolan movie versus
why is it manly?
A very feminine Barbie movie. So they're like, they're just kind of playing on the contrast of the two types of movies.
I don't think there is a contrast. They're like totally adjacent.
I
mean,
I know we don't. But there are people who do.
Where it's important for them to think that there is a
contrast? I think people see it. They go, wow, look at the two different types of movie. Who's and like kind of created this fake war between them.
Okay.
I mean, Barbie crushed Oppenheimer.
I could totally understand that.
Yeah.
It's more accessible.
And more screenings too, because Oppenheimer's 3 hours long.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's really that's why movies should be
well that's why in the 80s and 90s there were a ton of movies that were only they want them to be 90 minutes so they could get
more
so
cash.
Many screenings.
Yeah,
they could make more money if there's like 8 screenings in a day than there was 4, you know.
Yeah.
But then they just were like whatever.
So there's got to be so many movies that come out on the same day. Why is this all of a sudden a phenomenon for these two?
I think it was just the hype around it. And then the internet just kind of made it up as a thing.
Yeah, it's a terrible stretch. There's so many
right.
probably better pairings.
I mean, partially why we're doing this in two parts is because I haven't seen Oppenheimer yet.
Okay. Oh.
But so we're just going to talk about Barbie today.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alerts.
They blow stuff up in that movie.
Barbie?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Because they dropped a nuclear bomb on Japan in Barbie.
Yes. That was what they're trying to stop anyway.
Maybe that makes sense
why they're two related movies. They're either side of that.
I was just wondering why there's so much pink in it.
It's supposed to be watered down blood. It's a metaphor.
All right. Where'd you see it?
Barbie or Oppenheimer?
Barbie.
We saw it at just like a standard run-of-the-mill cinema.
Like a Regal?
It's not AMC? A Regal, but it's like a Regal, yeah.
Okay. I saw it at Nighthawk.
Oh.
In the week that it was, and this was like 3 weeks after it came out, it was still like sold out.
Here's what I was a little upset going into Barbie because mm-hmm. I was like, Alyssa, could you buy the tickets? I just don't want front row.
Mm-hmm.
So she buys the second row, row B, and it's like, fine, whatever. They don't have a row A. They trick you. In the UI, they show
all
X's in this row that doesn't exist.
Oh, no.
And then so many people were coming in to sit, and they would, like, go and sit in row C thinking it was the second row. And then they kept getting people be like, oh, hey, you're sitting in my seat. So many times throughout the beginning of the movie because this theater is just scamming everybody by starting on row B.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And that's exactly why these theaters are just like, it's just the slimy stuff they do for no reason.
That makes me so mad.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's just, ugh.
Ugh. I'm protesting them.
Yeah, me too. I won't even say who they are so you don't know to not go to them.
Yeah, but wait, I need to know.
it was Williamsburg Cinema.
Oh, I've been there a few times.
Yeah.
They host the Brooklyn Horror Film Fest, so I like
them. All right.
All right.
They
are like a privately, like, I think it's just them.
Oh, okay. It feels like...
I'm not going to protest them, but come on.
It's not my favorite theater.
Okay. Fair enough. Anyways, what was your reaction?
I thought it was really funny. I felt... I don't want to say fingered. What's it like pointed out? Like
triggered.
No, not triggered. It's like when somebody like
I felt very
I resemble that remark kind of thing.
Personally attacked.
Yes. That's
fingered.
What figures like we get pointed at?
Sure, Anton.
modern times have reused the phrasing to mean something else. Yeah, it was surprising. I don't know how much into spoilers.
I don't know. It was exactly how I thought it would be. We could talk about it. It's been out for 3 weeks.
Okay. I thought that... I mean, you don't think about movies as having to have villains, I guess, so much. But I didn't think that this movie would have a villain. I was like, it wasn't even crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. And then like how it came about was like really cool, subtle, and creative and fun.
Well, because the first half of the movie, Ken is just a joke that you think is just a sidekick.
Yes.
Which that made sense because you wanted that because Barbie's supposed to be the main character. And then from out of nowhere, he becomes a villain.
Like, I thought the trajectory of Ken would be that she ignored him and that he would learn how to get her to pay attention to him.
Yeah. But once he discovered the imagery of the golf and the monster trucks and the businesses.
Horses.
And the horses. Once he figured out that there's no horses, he kind of lost interest.
Yeah. Oh, man. He is such a funny character.
Yeah. I know this movie's supposed to be about Barbie, but... Ken was my favorite part.
Yeah. They did give him a really fun part.
And from people that I've talked with about this movie, he's kind of the more interesting character with the actual arc. And like,
Barbie is pretty flat. Her ending it didn't make a ton of sense to me.
Right.
I guess we're going all in on spoilers, right?
Yeah.
So like, her story arc is that you find out she just wants to be a real person.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like clear to me that that was a longing she had.
Right. And it's weird because like towards the end, she kind of touched on some themes about her character that I'm like, you know, if you really set this up from the beginning, this would have been very impactful, but you didn't. Like, the idea that she was like her kind of Barbie was like just basic Barbie.
Stereotypical
Barbie.
And they only kind of like
didn't
start
really
surfacing that
until
like
later in the movie.
Through,
And like if you would have said like from her character, like if she had set that up from her character from the beginning, and then the whole point like of her character growth is to not be stereotypical and to be this better Barbie.
Is that how you took it?
Yeah.
Oh, like I just very literally took it as she is a doll, like a fake person that wants to be a real person.
Right, but like you also have to look at the type of Barbie she is.
Okay. She lives in a world surrounded by non-stereotypical Barbies.
So even in this world of just fake Barbies, she doesn't have anything to her. Much in a way that Ken is trying to discover himself from just being Beach Ken.
Yeah.
He's not lifeguard Ken. He's like, just Beach.
She has that idea of dying, and like I feel like they kind of loosely make it clear to you that it's because the mom character.
Right. Is wrote, like even some of that I think could have been more developed at the beginning. I think there's just some areas of the movie that were a little messy in terms of characters and character development.
And I think it probably could have just tweaked it a little bit. And
I don't think it would have taken much. But I think just what kind of kept you in it was the jokes were really good. Like, it was just really funny. Like, there's some, like, legit funny jokes.
Like, Margot Robbie, I think, is a really great actress. But she just wasn't... She's just kind of like this bland character throughout, very forgettable. I feel like it was almost like a waste.
And there were some kind of weird tonal shifts in the movie that didn't make sense to me. Like, you know, they went really sentimental like 30 minutes into the movie when she kind of saw the older woman on the bench.
That did feel very
out of
place.
It really struck
out
of place where it's like, no, that's a moment you want to build up to. And then, like, she didn't really hit it out of the park towards the end. Because the end kind of dragged for, like, 40 minutes.
That was probably meant to be the clue that she wants to be a real person.
Right.
Who can age and, like, experience.
Yeah.
But
it just felt so early for someone to kind of...
And it really went against what she would say to people.
Yeah.
Like, I think of the parallels, like, in Star Wars of, like, the... story arc of like in Luke, he wants to leave.
Yeah.
He wants to get out of there, and but he has to do the chores. Whereas Barbie's character did not want to leave, at least in how she conveyed things.
Right.
When she talked to Weird Barbie, she's like, I don't want to go elsewhere. I want to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not make her long for something different?
Yeah.
That would probably make every fix all the problems.
Yeah.
But maybe there's a reason for it I just haven't picked up on.
Yeah. But, you know, I thought the jokes really hit. And the
jokes are so good.
And I enjoyed it. I think it experimented as just a comedy that's a big studio movie. And yeah. I can't fault you for that.
I think it's a
hard,
classic.
It was a hard movie to do because you can't like avoid the social commentary of Barbie. And then you also can't, you know, like not do it justice, but you also don't want to sound overly preachy without it being funny. And
yeah,
like, it's a hard movie to kind of dance around.
When I was talking to Alyssa afterwards, she said the movie kind of missed the point in a lot of ways because it
tried
to make Barbie seem like, because Barbie was controversial at one point, but nobody cares about Barbie anymore.
Right.
So it's like a movie trying to like justify why it needs to exist.
Yeah. And then it's weird because I feel like the people that have been mostly critical of it that I've spoken with were women that just didn't like the messaging of it.
Yeah, I mean, the messaging is kind of confusing.
Yeah, it didn't know what it wanted to say sometimes. But
that said, I feel like growing up at family parties and stuff, there'd always be mm-hmm. a movie on in the background. I feel like this is that new movie that's going to be on in the background at family parties.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's just like, it's fun to look at every little moment. There's like something to get out of it.
Yeah, it's going to be a cult movie. Like, it's going to be, you know, people are revisit it. Like, and, you know, my opinion might change in the future, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I had a good time.
I like it.
I, you know, even Will Ferrell and the whole kind of Mattel board. It's like, you know, you're making fun of that, but I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, that's probably what it actually is. And then like,
well, no, they're really savvy, sophisticated people that made that Barbie movie.
Yeah.
Cunning, ruthless. Even they're not, they're pretending to be inept,
mm-hmm.
but they know what they're doing. They're
yeah.
twisting your expectations.
Yeah. And yeah.
What's weird to me is, like, who's the audience for Barbie, the product?
It's not... It's for kids.
Yeah.
But this movie is for late women in their late 30s, early 40s.
Like, so, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Is it so that those women will buy Barbies like, for their kids?
No. Like, I don't... Like, I was watching the movie, and, like, I'm laughing, but I'm 36 years old. And, like, I just don't think, like, a teenager, like, is going to find this cool.
It's not even teenagers playing with Barbies. It's probably, like... under 10, if I was to guess.
Right. But like they 10. Knew that the movie, but at the same time, who do you want to market towards? You want to market towards the parents who are buying the Barbies.
It's true.
So. And then Will Ferrell, I really enjoyed, but it was just kind of like classic elf Will Ferrell. Like he just showed up and did his thing.
It was.
Yeah.
So here's my theory. The Barbie people were like, look, when people go to buy toys for their kids,
mm-hmm.
they're always like up in arms about the way Barbie looks and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Let's just confront that head on, make a movie about it, and target it towards the people with the wallets who are going to buy the stuff for their kids.
Yeah.
And we'll make way more money that way.
Yeah.
And then you eliminate that little bit of guilt that you got buying the Barbie for your kid in the same way when they put no fat on chips
or
Twizzlers. No fat in Twizzlers. It's healthy.
I didn't know there was fat to begin with in Twizzlers. I thought it was just sugar.
Turns into fat.
All right. Well, that was Barbenheimer part one.
Yeah.
We'll continue with Barbenheimer part two whenever I get around. Oh, Heimer. What did I say?
Well... No, you say it right, but like part one is Barb and part two is Heimer.
Yeah. Oh, that's Barben. True. Barbenheimer.
Yeah.
So this is Barb.
I guess N is in the middle.
So whenever I get around to watching a 3-hour movie, which is hard for me to do because everyone knows my favorite length of a movie is 90 minutes.
Yep.
All right. We're going to end today.
We should do a 3-hour podcast episode.
I think we used to.
Basically.
And no one liked
it. Well, no one even knew we had a podcast. But no one ever complained about the length. They said that, I don't know, it just didn't feel as authentic.
Yeah, no one has time for that.
I guess. You just break it up on your own. You're grown-ups.
Yeah.
I don't even listen to podcasts all in one shot anyway. I just keep it playing every time I go sit down.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, I got a game for you.
Okay.
I think, were we just talking about this? Celebrities?
Always. I mean, this is a celebrity podcast.
Wait, you love celebrities, right?
I do.
No, I just think, oh no, I had seen an article, because it's funny that how big, you know, the liquor industry has gotten.
Oh, really?
Well, so beer is no longer
poison.
Yeah, what? I know, right? It's crazy. It's
bad for you.
They buy it too.
Oh my god.
Manufacturing but consent. You know what the thing is?
What?
It's highly addictive.
Is alcohol addictive?
Yes.
Really? I guess it is. Addictive. Yeah.
Well, it's great. Like, especially like if you don't want to like confront reality or any sort of inner emotions, you just drink that and you don't have to worry about it.
Maybe the addiction is more to, yeah, like the suppressing of the feelings that you have.
Yeah. So anyways, about it though, there's like hundreds of brands of liquor. You only kind of think of the main ones. But like the big hype these days are celebrities that own their own liquor brand.
That is weird. Celebrity branding of anything is really weird.
Right. But apparently just like they all own.
Because I got a question here.
Yeah.
Who is buying this?
Well, it's marketed towards bars. So like, you know, a rep from a liquor company might go to a bar and say, hey, try some of this whiskey. Keep it on your shelf. If it's selling, start buying it.
Okay.
So, you know, they'll kind of reach out and have a network of bars. Or it's just celebrity branding, and you go, like, you see that someone owns this and the celebrity is promoting it and it's their own liquor brand. You are going to go to the liquor store and you might try it. And, like, it's a bottle of something that costs, like, I mean, some of it's really expensive, some of it's hundreds of dollars. I mean, some of it's cheaper, some of it's, you know.
So, is it just that? The recognition that you saw it in an ad, so you buy it and you remember it more because the celebrity was in the ad too?
Yeah. Celebrity branding.
It just feels weird. Like, when, how many people are when they're at the bar and mm-hmm. they ask for a drink, they're like, oh, I want to make sure that it's this kind of vodka versus that vodka.
What do you mean?
Like, usually the bartender's just decide yes. what they put in it, right?
Well, no, because you can go, you know, there's the well and then there's top shelf, and like you kind of people do like the, like you might go, oh, do you have this kind of tequila, can I get this? And
okay, yeah. I have a feeling that the people that are asking for the top shelf stuff don't make a lot of good financial decisions.
No, they just have particular tastes. But like sometimes you want, like if you're doing like a whiskey on the rocks, you don't want just the cheap whiskey, that the well whiskey that they put in the, you know, whiskey cokes. What makes it cheap? It's like, just tastes better. I mean, worse.
Okay.
There are better tasting whiskeys and like...
Like, objectively?
Yeah, like some taste like lighter fluid, but you want the ones that taste like gasoline.
Yeah, basically. That's what I mean. It's like...
Ugh. No, but there's like whiskey. Like people like...
I know people like this stuff, but it just feels like a thing to do.
Yeah. I know. But anyways, I'm gonna tell you a celebrity.
Okay.
Or celebrities.
And I have to guess what product they made?
If you guess the name and the type of liquor, you get it.
All right, I think I might do okay.
If you want the probably name of the stuff first, that might help you. You just have to guess the type of liquor.
Okay.
So it's a little easy because you can't guess the name.
Can I guess which celebrities might be in this ahead of time for bonus points?
Yeah, I have 8. All right. You can
Ryan Reynolds.
He's on the list. Yep.
George Clooney.
Yep.
Kardashian somehow.
There is one I didn't put on the list, though.
Okay.
You got two more guesses.
Coppola?
No.
Okay.
He owns, I think he does own one, winery. But I think he owns a winery.
Yeah.
Which I had once. I had his wine.
Who else?
But even wine, I don't get the whole thing because it's like, oh, wine just tastes like wine to me.
Johnny Depp?
No. But I think he does have one.
Probably. Everybody's got one.
All right. Let me just go to the list.
All right.
I'm going to name the celebrity.
Okay.
If you want to guess the name of it, you can, but it's impossible to guess the name. So you could just guess the type of liquor. But okay. If you want me to tell you the name of it, it's a clue.
Is whiskey?
Sometimes the name of it is a good clue.
Is whiskey enough to say the type? Or do I have to be more specific?
Yeah, you could say, but like there's also, you know, you can't just say tequila. You have, there's mezcal.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Okay.
There's gin.
Jennifer Lopez.
Whiskey, bourbon. No, we're not. Okay. You're just naming celebrity.
No, I thought that was a type of liquor.
Oh. All right. This one's owned by two people.
Okay.
Two athletes, Andy Roddick, the tennis player, and Peyton Manning, the football player. They own co-owners, but I think there's
what
a group
weird
of
pairing.
If you want me to give you the name, let me know.
Is it like a mixed drink of two drinks that don't go well together?
Yeah.
All right, Peyton Manning and Andy Roddick, two athletes, make an alcohol.
I wonder what you would think is the name of their
who cares anymore whiskey.
Ball.
I feel like they would make a whiskey.
I'm not gonna give it to you.
Oh,
because it's a bourbon.
That's the kind of whiskey though, right?
It is a kind of whiskey.
Okay.
But you have to be specific.
I don't. Yeah, it's gonna be hard for me because
there's only like seven. Like,
I like study up quick?
Well, you should have asked for the name of the bottle.
Oh, what's the name of the bottle?
Sweetens Cove.
No.
Yeah.
Sweetens.
Yeah. Sweetens. Cove.
How did they come up with that name?
Look, I don't know. A lot of the times, like the product kind of already exists, and then they bring on the celebrity.
But is the celebrity is the part of the celebrity deal that they have to like talk about it, or are they just incentivized to do so because they own a share?
Now, what's easier for me to tell you the celebrity and you guess the type of liquor, or to me to give you the type of liquor and then the name and then you guess the celebrity?
I don't know if it'd be fun to listen to, but if you told me all the celebrities up front and all the different ones up front and I had to match it up.
I think that'd be too hard to organize.
It would be, and it would be, no one would know what I'm doing.
So you get one or the other. Do you want the celebrity or the type of liquor?
Celebrity.
All right.
I'm trying to think what's fun for the listeners.
And remember, if I give, you can ask for the name of the...
Yeah, I should do that more.
And then that might give you a clue.
Yeah.
All right. It might not, though.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds.
His is... It's not airplane.
Well, do you want me to tell you the name of it?
But do I get a point if I guess the name? Wait, give me a second, because I know it.
You're close.
It's like...
I'll give you that clue, that the theme.
Air taxi. Vodka.
You know me, Ryan Reynolds. I only drink air taxi vodka.
Airport.
I only drink airport tequila. That just sounds like you just drink tequila at the airport.
Yeah, it's not a great name. Airport anything is not a good name. It doesn't have the word air in it, but it's air related.
All right, you got 5 seconds.
Propeller. I don't know.
It's called aviation.
Aviation. Oh, that is a better
name.
All
right, well, gin. Kinda, it is gin.
Yes.
You got a point. The next
Brian
one,
Reynolds, good job.
The next one technically doesn't count because he doesn't own it.
Oh,
he's a brand ambassador. But I thought it would be easy because of who it is.
Okay.
For you guys. Nick Offerman. And you want me to tell you the name of it?
Yeah.
Lagavulin.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said. Lagavulin.
That doesn't meet his brand.
But like, who? What kind of drink do you imagine Nick Offerman not drinking?
I would say whiskey, but that's, you can't just say whiskey. It's got to be more specific.
Mm. No, but you can say whiskey.
Whiskey.
It's a Scotch whiskey.
Okay.
But I'll give it to you because whiskey's in it. It's a Scotch. It says Scotch whiskey. That's what it's
labeled. Scotch isn't whiskey?
Scotch is a kind of whiskey.
Okay.
But like, it says on the bottle, Scotch whiskey.
Like Tiger Cat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Tiger is a kind of cat, but you could also say Tiger Cat.
I like to say Tiger Cat.
I didn't give it to you because the other one just said bourbon on it.
Instead of bourbon whiskey?
Yeah.
How does anybody know it's whiskey then? They got to get a dictionary out?
Yeah. Well, actually, isn't it... I don't know. Definition of... So, whiskey is just whiskey.
Yep.
And then, like, I forget what makes Scotch whiskey with Scotch whiskey, but bourbon is because it's Kentucky specifically. It's, like, made in Kentucky.
These are all things that I think I'd be fine not knowing.
Well, now you know. The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, another athletic person advertising a drink.
Well, he's an actor.
Yeah.
I've always thought he was an entertainer first.
He is an entertainer first, yeah.
Even in wrestling, it's not like... It's,
yeah.
It's not like you guys...
But you don't get that big without...
What?
Nothing.
Work it out?
Yeah. Work it out. Air quotes.
All right. You want me to tell you the name of it?
Yeah.
Terramana.
That means earth food?
I don't know.
Okay. Because the earth is a drunk. Terramana.
After you guess, I'm going to give you a little factoid.
It's a mezcal.
Tequila.
Mezcal's a kind of tequila.
I know, but this is just tequila. It's not mezcal.
So sometimes it's okay to do the category. Other times you got to be more specific.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just whatever you felt like at the moment.
It's just whatever they call it.
Okay, that's fine.
But a lot of people
know the Rock's audience.
Tequila, because apparently tequila is... Mezcal's a little tougher because mezcal can only be made in like a certain part.
Mezcalifornia.
Yeah, Mezcalifornia. But tequila can only be made in Tila Tequila's backyard.
Oh my God. It's like, I know who Tila Tequila is, but I guess probably.
Do people still remember?
Yeah. I feel like she's like a blip.
Anyways, the next one.
Okay.
Wait,
you were going to tell me something cool about it. Was the Tila Tequila the thing you were
going to tell me? Well, tequila is very, it's a common one by celebrities.
In this list.
Not in this list.
Oh.
Just in general.
There's basically two kinds of liquor. There's tequila and there's whiskey. And then sometimes...
Other stuff. There's gin. There's vodka.
Fancy
you know.
Your audience is. You need to know the subcategory.
Yeah.
Okay. Vodka is. Gin, I guess, is the thing. Yeah.
All right. The next one is, Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul own one together.
Okay. What's the name of it? It's vitamin water.
Yeah, the name of it is Dos Hombre.
Oh, two men.
Yeah. Yep. That describes them perfectly.
I'm going to look up Terramana. I feel like I'm pretty good at Spanish now. Or Latin.
I feel like I'm pretty good at Spanish. All right, what do you think it is? Because it's named Dos Hombre.
Oh,
so
Terramana.
It's probably
is
not.
All one word.
You know, because of that name, it's probably not like a whiskey.
Yeah, it's probably some kind of Spanish thing like tequila.
Is that your guess?
Yes.
It's mezcal.
This game is rigged.
It's not rigged.
I should have known.
This next one should be easy. It's okay. A very famous one.
Okay.
It's probably the first celebrity one I heard of.
Oh.
Dan Aykroyd's vodka. It's the skull. You know the bottle that looks like the skull?
He makes that?
Yeah.
Don't cross the streams liquor.
Do you want me to tell you the name of it?
Yeah.
Crystal Head.
Oh, pretty literal.
Just guess the type.
Crystal Head liquor. Crystal Head. I'm going to say it till it sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal Head gin. No. Crystal Head tequila. Crystal Head vodka. Oh, your eyes went up.
My eyes are dry.
I'm going to go with vodka.
That's right.
Yes. It's like that horse that could count.
Mm-hmm.
You ever hear about that?
No.
There was this horse that could count. So the horse could count, and they were like, they made a big deal about it. I'm sure everybody who's listening to this podcast has heard this. And the farmer was so surprised that his horse could count. So, mm-hmm. or no, it was the horse could do math.
Oh.
It's not even that it could count. So they'd be like, 2 + 9.
Yeah.
And the way the horse would do it, it would stamp up to 9. Because
mm-hmm.
horses don't have 12 digits to count.
Oh.
Like us. Did we do that on the podcast?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Talk for like 3 seconds before, and I can't.
To be honest, I don't remember the last episode we did.
I don't really either.
I have to look it up whenever I give you the descriptions.
Yeah. Oh, good. But anyway, it was the farmer's reaction as the horse would get close to the answer would clue into that's what people feel anyways. Mm-hmm. The horse wasn't actually able to do math and understand English.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that right. It could tell when horses. The farmer was getting close. But yeah, so that's what I did on that one.
Oh, all right.
I read the farmer's response. I'm a smart horse.
Yeah. Now I'm not going to give you that option.
I'm just going to say every liquor and see how your face goes.
All right, next one. Another famous guy, George Clooney.
Oh.
Do you know the name?
Motorcycle gin.
No.
He's always riding motorcycles.
Final guess?
No, I don't need to know the name of
it. Let me tell you the name of it?
Yeah.
Casamigos. Migos house?
Friend's house.
Friend's house. Yeah. But, you know, it is
so
in Spanish.
I'm learning. If you're going to make a liquor that has a Spanish
so
name.
So it's in Spanish. It's a toss-up between two things.
Well, yeah, if it has a Spanish name, it needs to be the first year of Spanish words.
Right.
Like hombre
or
amigo,
casa.
Think,
the average American's going to know that?
Actually, maybe. I just learned that, no, I don't know. I just wonder about demographics. There's probably a lot of Spanish-speaking people in the United States.
What do you think it is?
So, Casamigo?
Yeah.
Is it Mojo Dojo Casamigo?
Yep. It's a Mojo Dojo Casamigo.
They should do a Barbie-themed version of it if they want to make money. Capitalize.
Probably, they probably are.
Yeah. Tequila?
Yep.
Okay.
You finally got it. The tequila mezcal toss-up.
So, the other thing, if it is a Spanish name, it's always tequila. That's the rule.
I mean,
or some
it's
form
your
of
guess.
Tequila.
It'd be weird that to buy a whiskey that had
Casamiga,
a Spanish name.
Vodka.
But I guess they think they do make whiskey.
So far, we've got no vodka on this list.
With Dan Aykroyd's.
Oh, I forgot about it already.
Last one. Your boy. Elon Musk.
Is Dan Aykroyd Russian?
No, but he likes vodka.
That's good since he made that.
Yeah.
Elon Musk makes a drink?
Mm-hmm. It,
is it called Rocket Fuel?
No.
Okay. Is it called
it's
Liberal
called X.
Tears?
No.
X.
He just calls everything X?
He does. Honestly, that's the nail in the Twitter coffin, in my opinion.
I think so, yeah.
So hard to log into it, and it's just called X, and that dumb logo shows up every. They can't even like load the page immediately. It has like a loading screen. Everything about it is just like a train wreck.
This is a really easy name. It's just called Tesla blank.
And I have to come up with the second word.
The second word is the type of liquor.
Tesla coil.
No, coil is not a liquor.
Could be.
It's
It's made out of snake venom.
Yeah, I guess.
Depends how drunk you want to get. Tesla gin.
Nope.
Tesla tequila.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
And that's a thing?
That's a thing.
Oh, you're closing your iPad. That means it's about that time.
It's the end of the show.
Oh. I had fun on that one.
You had a couple points, I think.
I got Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
I got...
I think the gin.
Ryan Reynolds.
And I gave you the whiskey one, even though it was a Scotch whiskey.
Yeah.
So you got 3 points.
Is there... So there's bourbon whiskey, there's Scotch whiskey. What's the other? Is that it?
Irish whiskey, I think.
Irish, that's stupid.
Is a specific... Irish, that's stupid.
Do you ever get mad about categories and groups and names?
No, I don't get mad about things like that.
I get very mad about it. It's all arbitrary.
That's why I always play games where it's guessing the categories and things.
Because I'm very bad at grouping things.
Yeah. All right. That's our show.
Should we do one more?
One more what? Celebrity?
Show.
Oh. Well, we have to end this one first.
Okay, all right.
All right.
All right, bye.
See ya.